The name of this chapter is Recruitment Process from Posting Advertisements to Shortlisting. This is what we are going to cover in chapter number 4. We are going to discuss the various elements in the process of recruitment. Some might overlap with what we have discussed in the previous chapter, and definitely some new knowledge gain from elements in this particular chapter. What we shall do is we shall start with the objectives here. After going through this chapter, you will be able to understand how to design and write the job advertisement. In fact, we've discussed some elements of writing the job advertisement, the way the words need to be formed, the kind of impact that takes place when you script a proper job advertisement and so on. So we are going to discuss some more elements here. We are also going to look at the pre-selection process. What is the impact of the pre-selection process? How it actually relates, if it is done in an effective manner, how it relates to the right people being in the organization and not the ineffective people. Also, we are going to look at aspects related to design and contents of the application form. So, an important document in the recruitment process is the creation of an application form, the need to scrutinize the application form, the need to create an application form, and how is it different from a resume or you can say a CV. So we're going to look into that, and how to shortlist the job application. So as a recruiter, what are the certain things that we need to take care of are all discussed here in this particular chapter. Let us move on. Let's start with the introductory part of this chapter. We have done this before, very brief reiteration here. Ideally, what it refers to this process is nothing but the ingredients here, like in attracting, screening, selecting, and onboarding of qualified people for a job. So this is nothing but recruitment. So where you create a large pool of applicants, you narrow them down, filter them down by screening. Screening might take place at several levels, interviewing, and then probably inducting them into the job process. At the strategic level, it may involve the development of an employer brand, which includes an employee offering. So if you've noticed, many companies have their own blogs where they put up a plethora of activities that they do, and they invite you to get on board. So it's a very informal way of calling people for recruitment. It is not like a job required, this and this is the qualification, this is the experience required. No, they actually cite out their the way they work, and they call you on board, and then eventually when you send out a particular application, they will scrutinize and they will start with the selection. So that happens at the strategic level. Let's move on now. The stages of recruitment, quickly look at those stages which we've discussed earlier. Job analysis and developing a person specification. When a need arises for a position to be filled, the recruitment people, the operations people, the department actually which requires the job position to be filled, get into this. Then we look at the sourcing of candidates. External or internal sources are used context-specific in a context-specific fashion. Then matching the candidates to the job requirements and screening of individuals takes place. This is the prime start of the selection process, wherein you have a large pool of applicants, and now you are going to trickle down or narrow down to match the exact job requirement. Assessment of candidates' motivation, the factors which motivate the candidate and their fit with the organizational requirements. So if it's an external sourcing done, probably a position, a pay hike, a change, these might be the motivational elements or factors. If it's internal, then probably the pride in being promoted or transferred. Let us say the person will also get a pay hike. So all of these motivational factors, and the making and finalizing of job offers and induction and onboarding of new employees. So if it's an external source, then these things get into the picture. Of course, depending on the size and the culture of the companies, This process may be undertaken either in-house through the presence of professionals who are experts like managers, human resource generalists, and or recruitment specialists. Now again, this depends upon primarily the size and the culture. So let us say if it's a small organization consisting of about 10 people, then probably the same HR, the person in the HR department might do the onboarding, might be responsible for arranging trainings, might be responsible for the recruitment process, and might also form the role of a selection person. So all these things need to be taken into consideration. They need to be taken into mind. Alternatively, if it's a large organization and if it's a niche position, even though if it's a small one, parts of the process might be undertaken by either the public sector, employment agencies, or commercial recruitment agencies or specialist search consultancies. So if it's a government requirement, let us say in a government bank, they need to fill 10 employees. So what they would do is ideally they would outsource it if they don't have a recruitment specialist to a public sector employee agency. If it is a commercial bank, let us say a private bank like an Axis Bank or a private bank like an HDFC or a private bank like HSBC. So what they would do is if they are not meeting the specialist requirements, they would give it to a commercial recruitment agency who would suffice their needs or a specialist search consultancy. So this we've actually looked at in the past few chapters, quick reiteration. Whatever the reason a vacancy exists, replacing a resigned person or creating a new role, the recruitment cycle kicks off in the same way. So even if there is a replacement required, if there's a new position, we all start from the job analysis, the requisition forms, and move ahead through the selection process, through interviewing, then you move ahead to the onboarding and the induction process, and eventually training and development. The vacancies creation is an ideal opportunity to reconsider the position in the context of the current and the future business needs. So this is also an important thing which need to be considered. Well, in this slide and the next few slides, through a pictorial medium, we are going to discuss and enlist the various facets of the need determination that we had discussed, some of which we had discussed in the previous slide. We are continuing with that. Now here we will understand the need analysis. What is the basis of need analysis? What are certain questions that you would need to ask as a recruitment professional to understand the need analysis? Basically, you need to do so because otherwise the right match would not be found. You would not be able to cater to the required position, and then it would result in a certain amount of inefficiencies post-recruitment process, or at times the recruitment process itself might fail completely. So let us look at what is the actual analysis that needs to be done here in order to determine the need for recruitment. So the very first and the most essential question asked in this particular context is there a vacancy at all? So before we start the recruitment process, we need to ask ourselves, people need to ask their departments or themselves, is there really a vacancy? If there's no vacancy and if there's still recruitment, it might cost the company time and money and would result in unnecessary problems post the recruitment process. The next question is, what does the business demand with regard to this role and the team? So how is this how is the picture becoming congruent? How are things being associated? How is the role practically going to satisfy the business demands? So this is another question. The next question is, can some tasks be reassigned to other teams? So let us say there is some requirement of a person, but if those tasks can be reassigned by other team members or to other teams, and if they can be done in an efficient manner, then probably we could be saved from the effort of recruiting a new person for this particular position. So it's quite a discretionary effort. It's an analytical thinking, whether those activities or whether those chores can be delegated, can be distributed, so as to minimize the recruitment effort, or can they be reassigned? Another one is this an opportunity to cut costs? Well, if yes, extremely good. So if recruitment, if you're bringing in a person who's an expert and who can bring a value add, if let us work with an example here. Let us say your organization is a growing organization which requires training and development efforts for the employees to perform well, and each time there is a training and development program, you have to call people from outside and pay hefty sum of money. But if you have a trainer on rolls or a couple of people on rolls, then you would need to pay them a specific amount rather than the huge sums of money. So if it is a resultant, if it results into a cost cutting opportunity, then definitely you can recruit. If not, then you would need to think otherwise. Is the job title more senior than the actual responsibilities? So you need to look at this critical question as well. So if the job title is senior and the job responsibilities are not up to the match, then ideally you would have to tone down the job responsibility or the title. So if you've posted for, let us say, a senior manager research and development, and the job requires, I mean, the key responsibility areas of the job are just research and development and managing people. So you could probably tone down the job requirement to a manager in research and development. The last question here is this a career development move that could be offered? So probably at times you can think of, you know, a lateral hire or maybe an IJP or maybe a promotion, where you can look at recruitment as developing the career of existing people, promoting them so that they develop, let us say, engineers working for a long period in the engineering department can be promoted to the rank of a supervising engineer or a junior manager level, wherein they get to learn management along with whatever they are doing right now. So they get to learn about management, they get to understand about leadership, and probably after the supervisor retires, they can fill those shoes. So it can also be looked as a career development move that could be offered to pre-existing employees. Let's move on. Let's discuss another aspect of need determination. Well, in this particular aspect, there is a need to think ahead. There is a need to plan. There is a need to forecast. So recruitment department is one of the prime departments which is responsible for forecasting of business activities, forecasting of the number of people, and forecasting in terms of attracting the best candidates to the organization. Now, certain points exist which a recruitment manager or a recruitment professional needs to take into consideration. What are those? Those are enlisted. Some of them are enlisted here. Let us look at them. How this job might be adapted to provide visible and appealing future development prospects. So whenever you're recruiting people, either internally or externally, you need to envision the future development of that particular individual who's filling up the position. You need to think on lines of how it could be a value add, how it could appeal to that person's future development prospects. Another important point here is the sort of person who would find that adapted job attractive, and whether there are potential internal candidates. So external and internal will always be two sides of the coin which the recruitment professional has to consider. So in this case, there needs to be things like the candidate or the prospective person finding the job attractive, and if there is anybody who can fill those shoes from within the company. Finally, what useful experience a new recruit would gain? So again, this is another point which needs to be taken into consideration. Let's move on. Here, what we do is, under the umbrella of need determination, we need to also understand the cost of recruitment. In the very first slide of need determination, we spoke about whether a need is really, I mean, whether there is really a need for a recruitment to happen. So we need to also understand the underlying costs. If a recruitment is actually very necessary, if the work cannot be delegated to members from the team or intra-team, inter-team or intra-teams, there needs to be recruitment. So what are the costs? So there are many underlying factors which are tangible and intangible. Primarily intangible costs associated with recruitment. Primarily those enlisted here are important to be taken into consideration by the recruitment professionals. Most important being the time of the management taken up with briefing the recruitment consultants or the headhunters. Definitely not all recruitment can happen internally. So people need to consult and liaise with recruitment consultants. They need to liaise with headhunters. They need to liaise with several job agencies, or probably they need to spend time online. So what would be the time? Now, in every organization, we understand being professionals, time is equal to money. This is a simple equation which is present in every organization now. So what is the time which needs to be, you know, which is eaten up or taken up here? The next is what are the tangible costs or intangible costs in drawing up the job advertisements? So to create a job advertisement, do you do it yourself? Do you outsource it to some people? Once done that, where do you put that? Do you utilize the services of a local newspaper? Do you utilize the services of a national newspaper such as an Ascent or the Times of India, through which Ascent comes out with the job requirements? Or do you put it on national television on certain channels? Also, the time which is spent and the costs in interviewing. At times, if the position cannot be filled from your city, you need to travel to other cities. You need to book hotel rooms. You need to book banquet or conference halls wherein you need to take those interviews. The time associated with creating those interviews and so on. And finally, the time and the costs which go into negotiating of offers. So all these exhaustive, you know, this exhaustive list go into the intangible costs which are associated with the recruitment. And these are taken care of as a part of understanding the cost of recruitment. Well, let us now move ahead and look at some of the tools which are used in helping us with determination of the need. One of those we've discussed already a couple of times is the job analysis form. This is basically a pro forma that outlines the key components of a job analysis. So ideally, if there is a position to be filled, what is the JD, that is the job description elements, what are the key responsibility areas of that person? All these come under the key components of the job analysis. Along with this particular form, the job analysis form, there are certain protocols for handling surplus staff situations. At times, we've already read in newspaper that IT companies have a concept called as a bench. A bench is nothing but surplus staff, staff without any projects. So they are primarily, they just come to the company, they are engaged in some value add projects, some social responsibilities, but they are not generating core revenue for the company. So such staff is known as the surplus staff. So it is in the interest of the organizations and individuals to utilize any surplus staff in the organization. So probably they could be used as an auxiliary force or any supplementary force for any particular project. So there needs to be a particular setting up of these kind of protocols for handling such surplus staff situations. In the next slide, we are going to look at the guidelines for designing and writing of job advertisements. One of the important parts which we had discussed as a part of understanding the intangible cost of recruitment. Well, as discussed in the previous slide, now we are going to enlist and we are going to discuss certain guidelines for designing and writing of job advertisements. Last few slides, we were looking at the need determination. in which we saw one of the important factors or criteria was how to go about designing certain job advertisements. Here we are going to discuss the same in detail. Well, as we understand, it is extremely important that there should be some effective job advertisement which should go out and reach the right applicants. So if there is a worthy applicant and if your job advertisement is not impacting, then probably even though your organization is the place or the ideal destination for such candidates, but if the job advertisement does not portray the same, maybe the people will move to any other organization. The more specific you are in this criteria, the more effectively you will target the right applicants. So the wordings matter, as we have seen in a previous chapter. You need to be very specific. You need to have an impactful wording there, wordings in which you tell candidates the exact reason why they need to work with your particular organization. Putting together an effective job ad is simple if you stick to some basic guidelines. So it is not like a rocket science, it is not something which is very difficult. So recruiters can easily create and consistently create good job advertisements if some simple things like a job title. Now what comes under job title? Make it simple, be honest and to the point. So do not overpromise and underdeliver, or do not underpromise and overdeliver. Be honest, be to the point, give exact specifics of the job which is at hand, with job requirement, sorry. You may choose to add extra information if it makes the job title more specific. So let us say the job title is about a research engineer. Now a research engineer is a specific title or a specific job description. But if you write we require engineer for the plant, it becomes vague, because there might be many people who might aspire to join this job because they have the qualifications, but very few people might have the additional qualification of a research engineer. So both a researcher as well as engineer is required. Hence it is good to add the extra information. For example, here project manager financial services is more informative than simply project manager. What this ideally does is it saves the company time and money, and it also saves the time of the candidates. Let us say if the first let us say in this instance, if project manager was advertised, so you would get project managers from IT, you would get project managers from the pharmaceutical field, you might get project managers from any field for that matter. So wherein you are looking specifically for project manager financial services, you would get project managers from nearly every field. Now rather than getting the 20 or 30 applications where you would select one or two, you would probably end up getting more than 300 or 400 applications. Again, what you would need to do is, in that case, you would need to sift through or filter through those unnecessary ones. So it's good to stick to the basics and be more specific with the job application. Let's move on. In the guidelines, we continue with the next part, which is the company. So after knowing what the job is, what the nature of the job is, the basic applicant wants to know exactly who they will be working with. So this is where your organization comes into picture. If it's a reputed organization like a Reliance, or if it's a reputed organization like a Microsoft or a Wipro, then people will be ready to work with such organizations because they will be proud to be associated with organizations of a high repute. They will know at the end of the month they will get a steady salary. They will know at the end of the year they will be appraised for their efforts, and there will be growth in terms of monetary factors as well as in terms of responsibility. Thus, the brand name of the company matters, and also the need to show how desirable your company is, the kind of opportunities it presents, and why a talented worker should uproot from a current job to come and work for you. So this is extremely important. This cites out those particular reasons. Well, now we come to an important factor in the guidelines, that is the job description. in this particular factor actually need to depict and tell the future employees exactly what the job entails. So in the interview, in the selection rounds, they should need to get a clear picture. Also, they should need to get a clear picture in the advertisement. So certain salient features of the job need to be portrayed and put over into that as well. We need to tell the potential applicants what they will be responsible for and give an outline of their day-to-day tasks. They also need to know whom they will be reporting to at times, also if it is a full-time or a part-time job requirement. So these are important things which need to be, you know, commonplace or need to have a specific place in the job advertisement as a part of the basic guidelines. Let us now move ahead. Let's move forward. The ideal candidate description. Now, what are we actually planning to do? Let us get back to the basics. We are actually planning to match a specific job requirement or a specific job position with the ideal candidate or with the right match. So there is a right match between the organizational requirements and the person with the specific skill sets and qualification. Here we should also describe about the ideal candidate. That comes a part of the ideal candidate description. It's time to let the potential applicants know exactly what you want out of them. This is extremely important. People should understand and people should know what the potential applicants or potential organization wants out of these employees. This isn't the time to beat around the bush. So you cannot talk vaguely or there should be no ambiguity. It is time to be specific. You want to filter out the unsuitable people before you find yourself with a stack of useless resumes. Yes, recruitment is a process where you create a pool, but today's times we need to have immediate action. So the pool, if it is consists of specific applicants, then it would be more efficient than a pool of useless resumes. So it's extremely good to be more specific rather than beating around the bush. As a part of the ideal candidate description, we continue with this slide as well. They need to be highly motivated and results driven. So these are some of the characteristics, these are some of the qualities of the candidates that any organization would love to have as a part of their employees. So highly motivated and results driven employees are liked, they are welcomed by any organization. So this is one prime characteristic. They should possess the requisite amount of energy and enthusiasm. So they should be self-driven, self-motivated individuals who create action through the use of energy, through the use of their own enthusiasm. They should have a sound judgment and sound decision-making skills. So these people should have the right decision-making skills. They should have the right judgment to follow it up. A commitment to outstanding customer service. Today, the customer has become the king. We get to know this from various subjects like marketing, internet marketing. Recruitment is no different. So the ideal candidate should have an outstanding customer service commitment. Extremely important. They should understand what is the concept of customer service and how can they implement this as a part of their daily routine and how to commit to the customers. Of course, attention to detail is also crucial. It's also important. It is also necessary. They should be focused upon the attention to detail so that they carry out the daily activities, so that they execute the daily tasks in a methodical manner. So these are a few of, you can see, these are a few of the characteristics of the ideal employee or the ideal candidate that we're looking at. Let's move on. Now comes the important point, an elaborate job ad, a job ad which is actually meaningful, which you see of many companies like Infosys, many companies, many of the IT, many of the BPO, many of the banking sector companies, which also have details related to the salary package. The salary question has to be mentioned at some point. Most people scanning a page of ads gauge their suitability for the role on the wage. So if you are a manager who is drawing, let us say, per annum 10 lakhs And if the ad is for 30 lakhs, I do not think you would definitely, you know, you would post your resume. You would think it's out of your depth. Like an example here, again in congruence with what I've just said. If a sales manager, now let's consider the example of a sales manager, his current CTC or his annual income is 400,000 or rupees 4 lakh, sees a job ad for a senior sales manager of rupees 9 lakhs, they may think it is out of their depth. They might think or misinterpret the ad. They might think that something more specific or some niche thing is required, which is not up to what I am currently capable of. So the ad should be specific to the kind of job description, to the kind of things that the role entails. So be specific in those particular areas as well. Let's move on now. A very important point is the layout. The layout is nothing but the way the ad is structured, the way the things are placed in the advertisement. This consists of a simple ad is an effective one. This is a message that is given. So the ad should not be too sophisticated or complicated. It should not be too flashy. It should serve the purpose of making the ideal candidate getting attracted or motivated to the specific organization posting this job ad. Bullet points work well because they are specific. These are examples of some bullet points. They are specific. They are able to provide some concise points rather than being ambiguous and beating around the bush. We need to steer clear of complicated job descriptions, fancy designs, funky language, or anything out of the ordinary. At times, many candidates might just think of this as either casual or probably out of depth or any other interpretation. So things need to be looked at in that particular manner. Another important point is how to apply. Make sure that the method of application is clear, and don't forget to put a closing date on the applications. Extremely important points. Very important not to discriminate. As recruitment agencies, as organizations which put up ads, as any other entity which puts up ads, it is important to keep in mind not to discriminate on any grounds. Let me bring up to you a recent survey finding. A recent survey by Kelly Services. We've already seen this name in one of our previous chapters, wherein we saw the important players in the Indian industry. So Kelly Services found almost half of the business professionals would be in breach of anti-discrimination laws when writing a job ad. So factors like the gender of the person, other important factors, these are to be looked upon by people when they are putting up advertisements. They need to think of the anti-discrimination as well. In general, all jobs must be open to all people on basis of merit and only merit. Here in this slide, we continue with the basic guidelines for designing and writing job advertisements and where to publish your job advertisement. Extremely important question that each recruitment professional must ask themselves before they go ahead and do the actual publishing work. So points to be considered here are that these days jobs are most often posted online. It's a cost efficient and a less time consuming fashion of posting ads. These ads can be posted on the blog sites of companies, on websites as we've mentioned before, or on the internet. Yes, the largest Indian job boards are Naukri, Monster, Times Jobs, so they can also be posted there. They can also be provided to staffing agencies like Kelly or Adecco or Manpower. Advertisements can also be published on social media networking sites like MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, and business networking sites like LinkedIn. So there's a wide plethora that ads can be published on. They can be a mix of less costly alternatives, and probably if it's a niche position, maybe some of the costly alternatives like a job board. So ideally, what the job is, what is the urgency, okay, of filling, what are the numbers that we are looking at, all these factors come into consideration when you are actually thinking of publishing or the place of publishing your job advertisement.